When Kit and I were first in the same place at the same time, this was one of the first songs I heard her do. And I remember being, I couldn't breathe because of the, first of all, my analytical mind recognized the perfect musicality of it. But then those lyrics, dang. It's just a Texan thing, you know. Dang. That's a really good song, kid. You touched me. Thank you. I spent the night at the church last night, and it's such a wonderful thing to be here when things start stirring. You know, first it's Seth, and then Leah, and then Taylor, and then the musicians. I may have it in somewhat a different order, but I know Seth is first. Yeah. And so to listen to rehearsal while I'm getting ready, it's about the sweetest thing. And then I start hearing the murmur of your voices, and then the little bit louder murmur of your voices, and then the absolute joy of your voices greeting each other. And I just want you to be aware again and never lose sight of what an extraordinarily beautiful place this is because of you. And I thank you for that. I'm exceedingly grateful this morning. So we have been studying Lessons in Truth for 1 week. And for those of you that are in the class and those of you that aren't, I put a little recap of the class on the resource page so that those of you that are in the class can remember what our little bit of homework was and what we talked about. And those of you that weren't can play along too. I want to show you what I'm teaching Lessons in Truth from. There's a new version you can see in the bookstore, and many of you have it. This version I got in my very first Unity class in 1987. And it even has my previous married name in it. So that helps me remember on a timeline where when it happened. And I am so enjoying teaching this again because I have notes from teaching it in 1993, 1998, 2004. I've taught this so many times and it never loses its beauty for me. It never loses its absolute truth. And so I'm going to be talking with you from this book for the next three Sundays, today and the next two Sundays, to give you another recap of what we have been learning in this study, because it is one of the sweetest and most definitive ways to experience truth. Emily Cady just kind of gently in her late 19th century voice just tells you to kind of get over yourself and get on with God. Doesn't she? Those of you that are studying the book. She's just like, oh, beloved, stop doing that and start doing this. And she does it in a way that makes you want to. So when the book starts out, it says, bondage or liberty, which? Okay. So, you know, I doubt that many of you would say, oh, I'll take the bondage part. Thank you very much. I don't mean it that way. Hello out there online. God has an intention. And you know, I'm saying God because we don't have enough words to describe the infinite. So God is just a three-letter word that kind of pours it all into one little container. But that container is far too small in our minds for what the infinite really is. So when I say God, think bigger than any God you've ever thought about before. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Dr. Katie says to do is to become as a little child. Like, turn off your intellectual analyzing brain and let yourself hear things for the first time. So when I say God, I want you to throw away all of the freight that you might have about what God is. God's not a he. God's not a she. God's not an it. God is not a characteristic. God is all that there is, period. We can say that God is all-knowing, omniscient, but the truth is God is omniscience. God is everything there is to know. And you can do that with all of the O powers that we talk about with God. So when I talk about God, I want you to start letting your mind kind of blow open and embrace something that is beyond definition. And the truth is, that infinite being is pouring itself through us all the time. Pouring itself. The divine has an urge, is an urge to express itself. And there's a reason that we don't all look the same and behave the same and come from different cultures and we're born in different parts of the world and different times in history. Because we are uniquely expressing a piece of the infinite. That's amazing. How dare we have low self-esteem if that is the truth, and it is. That the urge for God's expression to come forth is forever. And it is uniquely in you. So it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your history is. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God is expressing through you. And you can either cooperate with that or you can fight it. Hence the original chapter, Bondage or Liberty. So do you remember the times in your life when you were kind of fighting being divine? Do you remember the times in your life when you were fighting being divine? Thank you. Because we've all done it. We've done it with our addictions and our sick relationships and our battles with our family of origin and blah, 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 the human journey. We've all done that. We've all fought with it. And we've gone through our periods of atheism, agnosticism. We may still be in that agnostic thing. That's okay. It acknowledges that there is something. So stick with that and then keep letting your mind expand. Let your mind expand. Let your mind expand. We had a discussion this week. When were we talking about brain versus mind? Were we in on that? Was that you and me? Obviously, my brain is not functioning on that one. Brain versus mind. You're bigger than your brain. Your mind is beyond your brain. I'll just kind of chew on that one for a minute. Because we start to believe in the illusion that our mind is it. That what it tells us is true. That what it urges us to do is the thing we got to do. And one of the things that I told the class the other night is that if you have a habit of saying, you know, that's the way I've always been, stop it. Stop it. Oh, you know, I've always been that way. Well, that may be endearing in some aspects, but if it's an excuse for bad behavior, stop it. I've always been that way. If you find yourself saying that, go, oh. Reverend Jill said, don't do that. Because I so expect y'all to be obedient. Yeah. So we have to recondition ourselves. We have to begin rearranging our thinking, because a lot of our thinking is conditioned by our past. It's conditioned by societal messages. It's conditioned by things people have told us. It's conditioned by messages that we make up. Isn't that funny? We make stuff up and then we believe it's true. But you know, we were created that way. We were created to be able to think however we wanted to think. We were given free will. I want to talk to you for a sec about Adam and Eve. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning. So Adam and Eve, you know, if you think about it, it's kind of a funny story, because why would a creator create two people, one at a time? You know, and I happen to believe that maybe it didn't happen exactly in that order, but I don't know. And they were happy being naked. They had dominion over all the living things. And here was all this beauty, and everything that they needed was all right there. But why would God say, okay, but over here, kids, is this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and whatever you do, don't go over there and don't eat that fruit, okay? You can have all of this, but whatever you do, don't go over here and do this, okay? Don't touch it. Don't eat that fruit. So naturally, say, I think I will. And so that happened. And don't blame it on snakes. Don't blame it on Eve. said the female part of the audience. Don't blame it on Eve. Beloved, God was giving human beings the chance to have free will, the knowledge of good and evil, so that they could go out into the world and say, oh, we are not all of that. We are this and that. We get to choose how we will be. We get to make decisions about ourselves. And if you want to translate that into our current experience, you picked this body. You picked what you came to express as. Did you know that? You are not a victim of circumstances, even your own birth. You came here. And you get to do with this whatever you choose to do with it.
Responsibility. Ooh.
Responsibility. Ooh. Yeah. Exactly that, Jim. And, you know, we're all here because we got tired of being in places where people gave us a code to live by. Here's the code. Here's the dogma. Here's the theology. We have our own theology. Don't let anybody tell you Unity doesn't have a theology. We do. I just happen to think it's more liberating than others. But it was easier when somebody was telling us, if we follow these rules, then we will get to heaven. Like that's the only goal. Something that happens after you die. How about having heaven right now? Yes. How about living freely right now? How about having the ability to take some of those ideas and thoughts and conditioning and rearrange them? Because they maybe no longer serve you, just like it was in our daily word today. Some of these things that we've lived with no longer serve us. And they are being revealed to us as we are willing to have them be revealed to us. So be not afraid. Be not afraid. If there's some little icky part of you that comes floating to the surface, instead of going, oh my gosh, you'd say, oh good, a chance for liberation. A chance not to be in bondage to this anymore. We have that opportunity. So we have some tools for that, and you know that the lesson today is called Tools for the Garden. So I'm going to give you some very basic unity terms, denials and affirmations. We're going all the way back to the very beginning. How many of you have heard about denials and affirmations before? If you haven't heard of them before, denials are not about pretending like something doesn't exist that does. It's not that kind of psychological denial. This is about denying that something no longer has power over us. That we are greater than those things which we perceive have limited us. How liberating is that? Bondage or liberty, which?
Liberty.
Liberty. So there's this little glossary that's put together by, that's terms that Charles Fillmore defined for us. So a denial is the mental process of erasing from consciousness the false beliefs of the sense mind. Denial clears away belief in evil as reality and thus makes room for the establishing of truth. The sense mind is the thing that gets fascinated with the material world, with the acquisitions, with the relationships, with the pursuit of our goals for our careers at the cost of everything else, that kind of thing. Denials as related to affirmations. A denial is a relinquishment, and it should not be made with too much vehemence. In other words, you're not going to say, this doesn't have power over me. I swear it doesn't. I swear it does not. Yeah, I kind of given it a little more power than you need to right there. Let us make our denials as though we were gently sweeping away cobwebs, and our affirmations in a strong, bold, positive attitude of mind. When we poise ourselves in divine mind, our affirmations and denials will be made in right relation. We will know just when to let go of a thought and when to lay hold of another. So here's the definition of affirmations. Pardon me. An affirmation simply is a positive statement of truth. By the use of affirmations, we claim and appropriate that which is ours in truth. So in an affirmation and a denial, it's two movements of the mind that express power to accept or to reject and to lay hold of or to let go. So that's a very powerful tool for us. If that's all we did in our spiritual life, we would be in really good shape. And many of us are. Many of you do this already. And listen, my friends, to be real about it. Some of us have conditions in our bodies that we're working on that may or may not ever go away. But it's whether or not we allow them to define us. It's whether or not we allow pain or suffering to become our reality and not the sweetness of God in the midst of it. Do you hear that? That's mature spirituality, my friends. That's mature spirituality. And I know you. I know that you do this. I see you doing it. I see you living in your truth, no matter what's going on with your body, no matter what's going on with your family. And it doesn't mean that you don't have very real feelings and moments of grief and anger. Even we indulge ourselves in moments of self-pity. Let's go ahead. Just get down in there and feel sorry for yourself really good for a few minutes and then come back out of it again. You know? Because we can't linger there very long, because then self-pity becomes our reality, and who wants to do that? So I'm not saying pretend like stuff doesn't exist. It's about how it has power over you. I was telling Bill this week, I had to go to my regular oncology checkup. And it's not one of my favorite things to do. Oh, yay, I get to go to the cancer doctor. But I don't walk around thinking of myself as a cancer survivor. I walk around just thinking of myself as Jill. And if it comes up, oh yeah, I had cancer and I'm surviving it. But when I go to the oncologist, you know, I have to kind of go through the inventory of the long-term effects of going through cancer treatment. Blah. Boring. And so I go and I say it, and I spend the rest of the day going, well, that was yucky. And then wake up the next morning and I did this. I thought, I'm going to either let that doctor's appointment define me or I'm not. And I got up the next morning and went, okay, that's over. See you next time. Because in the meantime, I'm living my life just like you are. Living. There's a comedian that talks about being in a private plane that was in some rocky weather. And somebody said, well, when is this plane going to land? And he says, when it gets to the ground. Says he goes up and tells the pilot, look, if we're going to go down, hit something really hard, because I don't want to limp away from this. Let's just get it. Let's just get it done. I'd recommend that comedian, except he's really naughty. And so anyway, but I watched his whole show because I like him. By the way, speaking of Bill, sitting in the back of the church, I'm not trying to draw attention to you, honey, but today is the very day that he and I are celebrating 23 years of being married to each other. And it's been ups and downs and smooth patches and stormy patches and two wonderful children and some very scary health moments for Bill in particular. And we're still here. And I love you, sweetie. Okay, I'm going to give you some denials that you can practice. I'm going to do it fast. First, there is no evil. There is no evil. Now, think about that for a moment, because I bet you'd like to say, well, I think maybe there's a little bit of evil. It's evil with the capital E. Capital E.
But there's
It's not another, there's not another power out there that's battling to get our souls. There's the evil that humans create. That's it. And humans can create some pretty nasty evil. But there is no evil that can harm us, not in our souls. So there is no evil is a pretty absolutist kind of statement, isn't it? If you had a reaction to that, just work on it. There's but one power in the universe. And what is that? Thank you. There's your answer right there. Second, there is no absence of life, substance, or intelligence anywhere. There's no absence of life, substance, and intelligence anywhere. Third, pain, sickness, poverty, old age, and death cannot master me, for they are not real. Take a breath on that. Don't identify yourself with it. They can't master you. They're not real in the sense that they cannot take away your spirit, which is eternal. Fourth, there is nothing in all the universe for me to fear, for greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. It's a powerful scripture right there. 1, 2, 3, 4. If we could grab hold of those and know them all the time. Whew. Here's some affirmations for you. This is what you say when things aren't going the way you would like them to go. And you've begun to say, this has no power over me, but God is life, love, intelligence, substance, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. Wow. That's what God is. All those things that we might not be feeling, thinking, believing in the moment. God is all that, right here, right now. Second, I am a child or manifestation of God. And every moment of God's life, love, wisdom, and power flow into and through me. I am one with God, and I am governed by God's law. Wow. Would you like me to put these on the resource page too? Okay. Here's the third. I am spirit, perfect, holy, harmonious. Nothing can hurt me or make me sick or afraid, for spirit is God, and God cannot be sick or hurt or afraid. I manifest my real self through this body now. The fourth one, God works in me to will and do whatsoever God wishes me to do, and God cannot fail. There's two things that'll help you here. You can have blind faith, which just accepts things however you hear them. Or you can have understanding faith, which means it's down here, rooted in you. Blind faith is sometimes where we start, but understanding faith is the one that brings it home. So, beloved, begin to work with this. We'll talk about this some more. Two more Sundays. Because this is powerful work. This is necessary work. This is what we're about. Let's pray. For a moment, just let from your feet on the floor to the top of your head and beyond be fully present When you breathe, I want you to imagine that breath energizing with oxygen through your blood flow. I want you all the way down to your toes. That same breath clearing all through your body into that organ in your skull called your brain. And as it clears, imagine it opening up. And this is our limited three-dimensional way of trying to describe something that's fourth, fifth, sixth dimensional. Imagine God's life, love, wisdom, health, inspiration pouring through the top of your head all the way through your body. This is the way healing happens right now. And if your mind gets busy trying to figure it out, say, beloved, rest for a moment. Something is happening beyond our current understanding, and all is well. The light of God pouring in through that crown chakra all the way down through your body. Revealing and healing all that is not like perfect life. Breathe it. Just breathe it. Let it keep flowing. There is no roof above us that can keep the light from flowing into us. Spirit, all that we have heard today, all that we have begun to absorb today, bring it home to us. So that we might truly understand. And even now, understanding is opening itself up within you. Bring your hands together. Connect with your body again. And remember the scripture that we heard, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Greater is God that is within me than anything else out in the world. What a mighty gift of liberty. We are made whole. We are made free. All is well. We are so grateful. And so it is. Amen.